Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week we've been looking at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. In our study today, we come to the 70th week of Daniel, as recorded in verse 27. Reads this way, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate." So here it speaks of a covenant that's going to be confirmed with many for 1 week. As we've been studying all week, in the context of Daniel, a week is a seven-year period, as discussed in verse 24, where Daniel says 70 weeks, or literally 77s, are determined for your people and for your holy city. And so Daniel predicts that there'll be a 490-year period that God's going to accomplish specific things. In our study this week from verse 25 and 26, we saw that the first 69 weeks, or 483 years of this prophecy, related to the timing of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And then as we come to verse 27, it's called the 70th week of Daniel, or this last seven-year period, which ultimately turns out to be the tribulation period, as recorded in Revelation 6 through 19, as well as other places in the scripture. And it gives the main events that's going to happen. So first of all, from verse 27, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." It's a seven-year period. The "he" is a reference to the Antichrist, and he's going to make some sort of covenant or agreement with many for a seven-year period. Now, it really is, from our vantage point today, to precisely predict what this covenant is. Many have suggested that somehow it'll relate to the nation of Israel rebuilding their temple and starting the sacrificial system up once again, which the Orthodox Jews in Israel are zealous to do. But they're waiting for the Messiah to come in and bring peace so that that could be done in a peaceful manner. Now, one of the major problems in the nation of Israel at this point is that you have two different religions fighting over the same territory and fighting over the same holy site, especially what is called the Temple Mount, or the place where the Orthodox Jews want to rebuild their temple to restart the sacrificial system. The problem is that for the Muslims, also that Temple Mount is an extreme holy site, because that's the place where they believe that Muhammad actually rode on his horse, or literally flew there, and dismounted on his horse, went, kneeled over and prayed, and ascended into heaven and received the Quran and came back down. On that spot, that is their holy site where they have built a mosque. Now, the difficulty is that's the exact spot that the Jews believe that their temple was built, and they want to rebuild it on that same spot. Obviously, that would spark a religious war, probably turning into the Third World War, if they were to go in and level that mosque and rebuild their own temple on that site. And that's what the Wailing Wall is all about. For those that are Orthodox Jews there, they won't go past that wall. So they go there and they pray, and they won't go past the wall. It's a marking point, lest they would accidentally walk on that place where the Holies of Holies once stood. So they distance themselves, and they stand there, and they pray many general prayers, but also the specific ones for the rebuilding of this temple. And so many have suggested the Antichrist is somehow going to solve this dilemma, because it really is an extreme problem. I had the opportunity and privilege to travel over to Israel, and when we were walking around on this Temple Mount, it was most incredible because the Israeli soldiers were there patrolling the area, but the Palestinian soldiers were also there patrolling that territory. To me, that's a very strange thing, because that was Israel's sovereign territory, and they're allowing someone else to help patrol that area of their land, of their nation. The only way I could describe that would be as if we allowed some other nation to help patrol Washington, D.C. We had our military there, and say the Russians were there patrolling that area as well, because they believed they had access to that or rights to that part of the land. And so it's an extreme difficulty, and maybe this man of false peace, this covenant, could possibly relate to that. You can't be dogmatic on that point, but it seems to make sense as you put the Bible prophecy together. But the rest of the verse describes a main event of Bible prophecy, which is, "But in the middle of the week," and that's the 3.5-year point, because remember, it's a 7-year period, "he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering." And this is where we understand that the Jews will rebuild their temple, they will have the sacrificial system back in place, and the Antichrist, in the middle of that 7-year covenant, is going to stop the sacrificial system, and then what the rest of the verse says, "And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolates." That is what Jesus referred to in Matthew 24, verse 15, as the abomination of desolation. And when people first hear that term, they say, well, what in the world does that mean? What's the abomination of desolation? It's simple if you break it down. The term abomination is obviously a great offense in the eyes of God. The term desolation relates to the idea of destruction. So when you put that together, this is an abomination that brings in the destruction. And this destruction isn't a human destruction, but it's that time period where God pours out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And then the rest of verse 27 reads, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So the consummation of all things, or the end of all things, is when Jesus Christ returns, and he comes back in great fury and anger and wrath and pours out his judgment upon all those that have rejected him. So it's desolation, it's destruction, and the key event that triggers this off is the abomination of desolation, which happens at the 3.5-year point in the tribulation period. There's a couple of scriptures that we need to look at in order to understand the fullness of what this abomination of desolation is all about. The two main places that we have to look at in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 15. This is the words of Jesus. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So once again, we're told here that we need to understand this prediction, this abomination of desolation. Here Jesus says it's going to be something or someone standing in the holy place. That's a reference to the holies of holies there in the temple. Something's going to be standing there, or someone's going to be standing there. Then he says in verse 16 through 21, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who sits in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so here Jesus says when this event happens, that's when great tribulation is going to break upon the scene. Now he's not giving you a title for this period, but he's describing this time period as great tribulation. And that's primarily when God begins to pour out his wrath with a greater intensity upon a Christ-rejecting world. The tribulation period is 7 years long, as we've seen in verse 27 of Daniel 9, but the last 3.5 years is when the intensity of God's wrath is poured out. The first 3.5 years is a time of judgment, time of darkness, time of wrath, but when this event happens, this abomination of desolation, something or someone standing in the temple, that's when God's wrath is intensified. Now, in order to understand more accurately what this abomination of desolation is, God's given us further revelation from the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is important reference in relationship to understanding the abomination of desolation. It says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And here's the description, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Now listen to this, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that is the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, claims to be God, demands to be worshipped as God, stops the sacrificial system, and probably places some image of himself in there in the holies of holies, which is to be worshipped as a representation of himself. And that is the point where Jesus said, watch out, because there's going to be great tribulation, and it's time to get out of Judea, flee to the mountains, flee to the wilderness. This is also recorded for us in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where the woman Israel flees out into the wilderness and is preserved by God there for 1260 days, which is a 3.5-year period. There's one last thing that we need to look at, which is extremely important in relationship to the rapture of the church. As we've been studying all week, Daniel 9, 24 through 27, he said in verse 24 that this 490-year period is determined for your people and your holy city. That's a reference to the Jews, a reference to the nation of Israel. And we've learned that the first 483 years applied to Israel and the city of Jerusalem itself. Now, as we come to this last 7-year period, we also have to link that up with the plan that God has for the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And this drives me to conclude that this 7-year tribulation period is primarily a focus on God's work among the nation of Israel in redeeming them. It's not a time for the church. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, as you read the context, is definitely a reference to the tribulation period, reads this way, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's exactly what Jesus said. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, and Jacob is Israel, but he shall be saved out of it. So the tribulation period is a time of destruction, a time of God's wrath, which he pours out on the unbelievers, but it's also a time when Jacob or Israel is saved during that time period. And that's why when you read Revelation 6 through 19, all the symbolism that's related there refers to the nation of Israel. That's why in Matthew 24, Jesus said, when you see this event, it's time to get out of Judea because great tribulation is going to come upon that territory. It affects the entire world, but the focus will definitely be the land of Israel and God's people. The result will be that God will save the nation of Israel, bring them back to himself, and then come back and wipe out all their enemies and establish his kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. And that understanding drives me to a pre-tribulational viewpoint, that this time of tribulation is primarily related to the nation of Israel and God's salvation of them. I believe that we'll be raptured before this time period starts because it's not designed for the church. It's not a time to purify the church. It's a time to redeem God's people of the Old Testament, his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And to me, this gives me great comfort and great hope, as well as a zeal to get out there and share the word of God with as many people as I can, because we don't know the time which the Lord will bring us to be with himself. Either way, we need to be prepared by serving the Lord today and not being caught off guard, as well as looking for that blessed hope of being with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. I hope these studies all this week have helped you understand Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It's helped you to get a foundation for the study of Bible prophecy. If you need more information, listen for the number that you'll hear at the end of this program where you could call if you want to receive other tapes that we've done on this subject, as well as resources, or if you'd like to take one of our correspondence courses. And actually, we do have the prophecies of the book of Daniel as one of the correspondence courses available. And in our study next week, we'll come back to the book of Daniel, looking at the prophecies recorded in Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12.